Okay, so let us start with today's session. So today is house full here also. Maybe we can keep this chair outside or keep it on this side. Okay, so let us start with today's session by chanting the prayers to Srimad Bhagavatam and Mangalacharan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tatho jayamudiraye nashtapraesha bhadresho nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhakter bhavati naishtiki om agyanatimirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya Chakshuronmilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati sva padantikam vandeham shri guruho shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagrajatam sargana ragunathanvitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sargana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim. Yat kripatam vande shri gurum dinatarinam. Paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya ishwaram. So many people. Okay. So we are discussing from first canto. Chapter 2, and we have completed text number 16 and 17. Now today we'll see text number 18. So when it comes to the previous discussion, let's revise. So the 16th shloka spoke about Shushosho Shaddhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirthani Shevanat. So how to get taste in the chanting of the holy names to hear the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Only by one thing, that is Mahat Seva. By doing Mahat Seva, we will actually get that taste by their mercy. And there Prabhupada at the end in that purport, he writes that eagerness to hear about Krishna is the qualification, is the first qualification to go back home, back to Godhead. And we all are very, very eager to hear. Then the second shloka that we discussed was Shrinvatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Tirtha Nishevana Ridantas Tohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Surat Satam. So when someone hears attentively, so there were a few words which are very important in the purport. That is hearing with attention, hearing with reverence. These two were very, very important, and also offenseless glorification of the Lord. So when this is done, what happens? Our heart will get cleansed. Our heart will get completely cleansed, and then things will manifest later. Now, there is a verse that we're going to see today. That's a continuation of the previous verse and a very, very famous verse that we all chant as a prayer to Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. I'll share the screen. Yes. So the translation goes like this. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam. So this is the typical translation of Srila Prabhupada. So Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, he's writing it as by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service onto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So first is by regular attendance in Bhagavatam class. Second, rendering service to a pure devotee. So that is Grantha Bhagavat and Bhakta Bhagavat. And after that, Prabhupada is saying all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service onto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So four aspects are there in the shloka. We'll try to discuss. Let's see the purport. Maybe we can open the door and sit. Some ventilation will be there. So purport says, here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart, which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavatas, namely book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. Both the Bhagavatas are competent remedies, and both of them or either of them can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavat is as good as the book Bhagavat because the devotee Bhagavat leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavat. And the book Bhagavat is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees who are also Bhagavats. Bhagavat book and person are identical. So this goes in line with that translation, that is by regular attendance in classes on Bhagavatam and by rendering service to pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. So our heart is very, very clean. We have got lots and lots of contamination in the heart, lots of contamination. And see, this contamination is not of this life only. We have to understand this fact. If it was only one lifetime contamination, we can understand, okay, chalo, thoda sa hoga, because our lifespan is short. So maybe a small little bit of contamination will be there. But then the fact is the contamination is from many, many lifetimes, many, many lifetimes. And Prabhupada says, from time immemorial, we are there in this world. And in another place, I had heard that the number of relatives we had in all the lifetimes, you know, cannot be counted. Even if we are able to count the number of sand particles in Ganga, we'll not be able to count the number of relatives we had. And also that goes on to say the number of births and deaths, you know, that has happened in our life. So we can imagine that how much contamination will be there in the heart, how much. So this contamination has to be removed. Only then we can go back home, back to Godhead, or it's not possible. So attraction to Krishna is something which is very, very natural, you know, for a devotee, for a very, very natural for a spirit soul. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, so we should automatically be attracted to Krishna. But there is so much of endeavor is needed to get attracted to Krishna, isn't it? So we need a class like this, you know, where we have to hammer. Yes. Such strict schedule is needed every single day, where we get up early in the morning, then you know, attend Mangalarti, Bhagavatam class. And, you know, chanting. Chanting again is a tug of war, the mind. It is said that wrestling on a wrestling arena, you know, with a very strong opponent is much better than chanting. Because the mind is so strong, so obstinate, and so chanchala that to chant the holy names of the Lord with focus becomes very, very difficult. Very difficult. Why is all these things happening? Because of contamination. So we have this, you know, regulated schedule that is there given to us, and we have to strictly follow as sadhakas. So we are sadhakas. Who? Which sadhakas? Vaidhi sadhakas, not raganuga sadhakas. Remember back in one place when I'd gone a couple of years back. So I'd gone to one house, and there one Mataji was telling how she feeds her Gopal. She takes the food in the hand and she closes her eyes and says, Gopal, please have it. Now see, we are not Raganuga Bhaktas that, you know, we'll do all this and then, you know, things will manifest. We are Vaidhi Sadhakas. Vaidhi means the ones who follow strict rules and regulations given by the spiritual master. And that is very much needed. If that is not followed, then there is no expectation of growing in Krishna consciousness. So one of the things that I remember very strictly told was one should get up in Brahma Murta, one shouldn't sleep in Brahma Murta. Now I was like, you know, why is it so strict? And then the line was added, if you sleep in Brahma Murta, then you lose all the pious credits, that little bit, whatever is acquired. Because lots of negative energy will creep in during that time, during Brahma Murta. So just a couple of days back, I was explaining this concept to my mother over phone. So I was telling her that, so when we sleep in Brahma Murta, what happens is, Brahma Murta is a time when sun is about to rise and the negative energies want some place to escape. And the best place to escape is the consciousness of the person. So the negative energies will just, you know, merge or creep in the consciousness of the person. We are already contaminated, and in that more negativity is added. So like this, there are so many wonderful things. If we just start analyzing each and everything given by the Acharya to us, then we'll see that, and all of that is so wonderful. Because each and every aspect of it helps us to cleanse our heart. And one of the very, very important aspect is Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. So very beautifully, the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam is given in first canto, first chapter. What is that shloka? Rasamalayam, remember? Hmm. 113, I guess. Just check. Tell me the first line. So Bhagavatam is compared, you know, to the ripe fruit of the
Nigrama Kalpa Taro Galitam Phala.
Nigrama Kalpa Taro Galitam Phalam Shukamukad Amrita Dravam Samyutam Pibata Bhagavata Rasamalayam Aho Muhur Ahor Muhur Rasika Bhui Bhavukaha. So this Bhagavatam is compared to what? Firstly, the entire Vedic literature is compared to Nigama Kalpataru. Kalpataru means wish-fulfilling desire tree. So this Vedic tree, this is basically a Vedic tree, and then there is a fruit that is hanging. So some devotees, I don't know from where, but they say it's a mango fruit. And this fruit is special, not having seed inside and, you know, the skin outside. So this purport, I don't know where people take it from, but then maybe from Chaitanya Leela. So in Chaitanya Leela, we know this, that when devotees were out on Sankirtan, devotees suddenly became hungry. And they were all asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we are hungry, what to do? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a seed of mango and then he just put it under the ground. And suddenly a mango tree came and lots of mango fruits. And the speciality of mango fruit was they were huge in size. So it said one mango fruit, if someone has, they'll be satisfied completely. And no skin outside and no seed inside. So away from there, you know, devotees take and speak. And anyways, so let's take it as this fruit only. So this is this ripened fruit. And the fruit becomes very, very tasty and sweet when it is touched by the parrot. And here Shukadev Goswami, Shuka, is the personal is a personal associate of Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna. And he is touching, you know, with his beak, basically speaking Bhagavatam. So already the fruit is very ripe. Now it has become even more sweet. See, in our life, we all need some sweetness. Everyone is searching for that. There is no one in this world who thinks that, you know, I want some bitterness in life. Obviously, to say, people say that, not sweetness and bitter, you know, is part of life because they don't have much sweet to taste. So they have this conception saying, they both are, you know, part of life, so we have to somehow bear with it, tolerate it. So all these are statements that people make. But to be very frank, every single person is actually searching for that sweetness. And that sweetness is there in Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. And here we see there is double sweetness that is there. Bhagavatam is ripe, and after that, it is touched by the beak of a parrot called Shuka, Shukadev Goswami. And who are the ones who relish this Bhagavatam? And by the way, how to eat this fruit? And that is very, very important. So here it is said, Pibata Bhagavata. So it's not about eating the fruit, it's about drinking the fruit, it is said. So it's always said that we drink the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Obviously, for us, it's very difficult to understand what is nectar, where is it. But then, the ones who relish Srimad Bhagavatam, it's almost like drinking through the ears. And we very clearly understand, you know, from the last line, that both liberated souls and the sadhakas, both of them relish Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is Granthavatar. When Krishna ascended back, home back to Godhead, that is Goloka Vrindavan, he left behind this Bhagavatam. And this Bhagavatam is the life and soul of devotees. Why? Because in this, the topics which are spoken is all about pure devotees and their Supreme Lord, that is Lord Sri Krishna. So Krishna and his devotees, the talk is given, and the throughout Bhagavatam, the talk is only this, pure devotional service and Krishna. Now you see, in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the chapters where Bhishma Dev thing is given, Kunti Maharani's thing is given. Now some parts of Mahabharata is given in that. Now they could have given full first canto, they could have described Mahabharata. But then see, in Mahabharata, we have so many mixture in that. So much of contamination is there. Politics is there, diplomacy is there, etc., whatever. But then Bhagavatam picks and chooses things, and then from there, pure devotional service is chosen. Pure devotional service rendered by Kunti Maharani. Pure devotional service rendered by Bhishma Dev, by Arjun, Draupadi. All these things is mentioned there. So in this way, Bhagavatam, starting from first canto till the 12th canto, each and every shloka, each and every description that is given is all about pure devotional service. I was hearing this from one of my senior god brother. He was giving class in Vrindavan. I happened to sit in that class. So he was telling that one person came to his temple. So he's from Pune temple. He said one person came to his temple, and then a new person, he thought, and he started talking to him. And that person started saying that, I have read entire Bhagavatam. So this Prabhu asked that, so where do you stay? He said, I stay at home. And then he again asked, did you read entire Bhagavatam? Yeah, I read entire Bhagavatam. Then this devotee again asked the question, so you read first canto Kunti Maharani Bhishma Dev's prayers? He said, yeah, I read that. So second canto creation, did you read? Yeah, I did. Fourth canto, Dhruv Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, did you go through that? Fifth canto, last chapter, Hellish Planets, did you go through that? Tenth canto, past tense, did you go through? And that person was like, yeah, I went through each and every shloka of Bhagavatam. Why are you asking this question again and again? Then that devotee said, I'm asking this because anyone who reads Bhagavatam cannot stay at home. Because Bhagavatam throughout, there is only one topic. That is how to attain Krishna, how to do pure devotional service. If someone who is reading Bhagavatam and still staying at home attached to the worldly things, that means he's very, very powerful. It needs a lot of hard work, a lot of power to stay back home after reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is very nice to understand that just by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever abhadra is there in our heart, the attachment that is there in our heart, the kalmasha, the contamination that is there in our heart, all that will be easily removed. Not because of our power, because of the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. So regularly when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, automatically this thing will happen, that before that the first two shlokas are important that we discussed. The taste for reading Srimad Bhagavatam and attentively reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And then after that, you know, when we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, what happens? This contamination will slowly and steadily, you know, it will be removed. So when we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, see, all of us are reading. But then so many devotees are there in ISKCON, you know, who are reading. But then why is it that not everyone is getting the benefit of that? Some people say, I've read it twice, entire Srimad Bhagavatam. But then no change, Prabhuji, what to do? Yes, why so? The mood of reading is very, very important. You know, in what mood am I reading? What am I asking Srimad Bhagavatam? That is very important. So now when a person approaches Srimad Bhagavatam, that I want peace of mind, Bhagavatam will give peace. If some person approaches Srimad Bhagavatam thinking about some sensual things, he'll get some sensual things in Srimad Bhagavatam. A lot of things are there like that. And then if the person is thinking, oh, I'm not able to beget child, oh, I'm not able to get married, oh, I'm not getting money, oh, I this, oh, that. And you know what? Bhagavatam will give solution to everything. It is said, one of the devotees was sharing this. I don't remember it clearly. One of the sections of Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the pastime, not sure if it is Prithu Maharaj or some pastime, there the Phala Shruti that is given is, if someone reads this pastime very nicely, then such a person will be able to beget child. This is the Phala Shruti that is given. So now, one thing we have to understand here is, with what mood are we approaching Srimad Bhagavatam, that thing we will get. But then if we approach Srimad Bhagavatam and if we have this question to Srimad Bhagavatam, oh Bhagavatam, please tell me how to attain Krishna this lifetime, every single shloka will speak about that. But then if we have some other contamination in our heart and we are asking something else to Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam is Kalpataru. Bhagavatam is wish-fulfilling desire tree. It will say, Tathastu, chalo, let me make you happy. And it will speak whatever we want to listen. This is a wonderful aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone is able to resonate with Srimad Bhagavatam. And more importantly, everyone is able to resonate with Prabhupada's purports. It doesn't matter which level sadhaka is. Sadhaka at a low level, sadhaka at a high level, or liberated soul. Everyone relishes Srimad Bhagavatam's. Srimad Bhagavatam and more importantly, Prabhupada's purports. So in one place, Prabhupada says that, what is Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness is chanting, feasting, and dancing. What else is there? And in another place, Prabhupada writes, that for an initiated devotee, why an elaborate menu is needed? One should eat simply and live simply. Now see, this is two different purports altogether. And we will see, both the devotees will be very happy. A devotee on the low platform, he will read the chanting, dancing, feasting, and you're like, hurry, so easy Krishna consciousness is. And an initiated devotee searching for something higher, struggling with his attachment in day-to-day life. And then he reads that, oh, I'm stuck here. So it all depends on what are we searching for. If you're searching for happiness, we'll find Prabhupada's that purport. If you're searching for Krishna, we'll find this particular purport. And Prabhupada is very clear. When the statements were there, before when Prabhupada left this world, there were a lot of chaos in ISKCON at that time, saying Prabhupada didn't give us everything. There were some statements made by God brothers of Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada has not given you everything. And then I was thinking, because I have not read, so I don't know, what is the thing. But then when I started actually reading and studying Srila Prabhupada's purports, everything is there in Srila Prabhupada's purports to go back home, back to Godhead. Maybe the Rasika commentaries given by Sanatan Goswami, Harishauri or Jiva Goswami, all that might not be there. The Rasika commentary might not be there. But the basic essential things, those are needed to go back home, back to Godhead, Prabhupada gives it all. Now when I'm recording these videos for Shloka Day, lots of revelations are there. Because now I have to read it very, very scrutinizingly because I have to speak. And then I'm reading Vishwanath Chakravarti and Baldev Vidya Bhushan Prabhu's commentary. And also Surrender Unto Me, Bhurijan Prabhu's book. When I'm reading all that, I'm understanding Prabhupada is giving high level things. Now to attain prema, that he's talking in Ashtanga Yoga also. That Prabhupada is giving in the purports. So it all depends on with what mood am I approaching Srimad Bhagavatam. With what mood am I approaching this literature. If the mood is proper, that I want to attain Krishna, please tell me, O Bhagavatam, how can I do that? We will see the secrets to be revealed very, very nicely, one after another. At least Bhagavatam is very merciful unto me. It keeps revealing some secrets here and there, every now and then. And that gives a lot of ecstasy when we read that. Oh, okay, this is what it is. This is what it is. This is how we can progress, and so on and so forth. So when we start reading Bhagavatam, this is the first thing that we have to do. First, pay obeisance to Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna. Second is we have to offer prayers to Srimad Bhagavatam, like we do in Bhagavatam class. Same thing, same prayers have to be offered. And then we have to beg to Srimad Bhagavatam that, oh Bhagavatam, please reveal to me how to attain Krishna this very lifetime. And with this mode, then we open Bhagavatam and then we start reading. And then you see the miracle, that how Bhagavatam will keep revealing one after another, gems are there in Srimad Bhagavatam. And you know, we'll be able to resonate because now our mood is clear and Bhagavatam wants to give Krishna. So we'll be able to resonate with what Srimad Bhagavatam is actually telling. So this is called as reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Not just going shloka by shloka and then just somehow finishing and then texting the counselor, 1 hour reading done. So what is reading? You know, here we can understand very clearly. And then when we do this particular thing in this way, in this mode when we do, then Bhagavatam has the liberty to break our attachments, to break our ego and remove all the contamination. See, when the thorn is there in our feet, you know, I'm sure everyone might have had the experience. Say a big thorn has gone inside. So when it is there inside, it is already paining. But then while removing, it pains a lot. Yes. So that's what Bhagavatam does. You know, it removes the thorn that is there in the heart. And then you know, there is a voice which comes directly from the heart. Krishna! You know, so much of pain is there at that time. Especially when we read that Prahlad Maharaj's teachings. Or when we read the discussion between Jada Bharat and Maharaj Rahugan. There, it is almost like they have taken a sword and they are cutting the attachments of the sadhakas, you know, the ones who are reading. You know, they are saying, wife and kids, they are like wolves and jackals. And relatives, you know, relatives are like that blood-sucking insects. And such heavy words are used there, such heavy words. And the person who is there, you know, in family life and stuck in family life is a person who has fallen into andhakupam, a dark blind well. Now, when someone reads this, then especially, I wonder when Grihastha devotees read this, what their mood will be, what are they saying? Wolves and jackals, I can see them here. So, actually, Bhagavatam helps us to come to reality. Now, this is a fact. Bhagavatam helps us to come to reality and to live life in reality. Because we are always in illusion. Always in illusion thinking my life is goody-goody. But Bhagavatam reveals to us, no goody-goody. You know, it's all full of suffering. Just open your eyes and see. And when we read Bhagavatam like this, with this mode, Bhagavatam will actually help us to break all our attachments and to clear off all the contamination. Not just for Grihastha devotees, even for a renunciant. Bhagavatam is like a very, very sharp sword. You know, it literally cuts open all the attachment. And sometimes, you know, on the wound, it will put some mirchi and salt also. Like there are some statements in Srimad Bhagavatam for renunciants, that a renunciant shouldn't keep anything in stock. He should always depend on Krishna. Whatever is there, you know, has to be finished today, and tomorrow's will be taken care of tomorrow. And suppose a brahmachari is keeping some sweets in the locker or some, you know, eatables. Now just imagine, you know, when he reads all this, immediately he'll go and distribute all that to everyone. Yes. And so many other things are there. A person, a renunciant, you know, who thinks of a female, such a person will rot, rot in a hell. Some strong statements are there like this. Now, when a person reads Bhagavatam like this with a mood that I want to get purified, I want to attain Krishna, Bhagavatam will actually help us. Every single shloka that we read and Prabhupada's purports, every single line that we read will actually help us to get rid of our contamination. So it is said, Nashta Prayesho Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. All the Abhadra which is there, that is all destroyed. Nashta. This is regarding reading Bhagavatam. But then you know what? If someone can get the association of a Bhagavat and then read Bhagavat under their guidance, oh, that is something very, very great. Because a Bhagavat, a devotee, a great devotee, a Mahat, a pure devotee, who has realized Bhagavatam, if that person speaks Bhagavatam, that is, you know, completely different. Just imagine a pure devotee who is seeing Nityalila of Krishna going on. And then, you know, when he is explaining Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's pastimes, then just imagine how it will be. A person who has conquered lust, and then when he speaks Bhagavatam, just imagine how it will be. It will be very, very, very powerful. So it is said that one should read a Bhagavat at the lotus feet of a Bhagavat, under the guidance of a Bhagavat. So it's very important to take shelter of a pure devotee. This is what is the point. When we take shelter of a pure devotee and under their guidance when we study Bhagavatam, and when we hear their words very, very attentively, the instructions that they give, and try to implement that, actually that thing will happen. Nashta prayesha bhadresha. See, when it comes to Bhagavatam, still we have an option. What is the option? If it is not too difficult to digest, what can we do? Close the book and keep it somewhere. Now just imagine a devotee Bhagavat. A devotee Bhagavat is giving instruction and he's following up with us. Did you do it? Did you do it? Can we close him? That is the advantage of a devotee Bhagavat. Prabhupada would say that a devotee Bhagavat is more important than Grantha Bhagavat, because a devotee Bhagavat can do something which Grantha Bhagavat cannot do. What is that? Twisting the ear. Twisting the ear only a devotee Bhagavat can do. So it's very important to have the devotee Bhagavat in our life. Just today morning and yesterday night, I was meditating on this point that as a Baddha Jiva, to accept someone, someone as their guide, accept someone as a spiritual master and completely surrender onto him is very, very difficult. Very difficult. Mind will never allow. There is nothing much in spiritual life. Only thing is, we have to pray to Krishna for the association of pure devotee. Once we get the association of pure devotee, just completely surrender to him and just be a toy in his hand. And he will make us dance the way he wants us to dance. And he will make sure that we'll go back home, back to Godhead. So what is there? What is big thing in this? Pray to Krishna, we'll get a... And surely if we pray to Krishna, we will get a pure devotee's association. Surely, there's no doubt. Because Krishna is more, very, very merciful. He is very eager to take us back home, back to Godhead. So he will send. And when we get the association of pure devotee, completely surrender. What do you mean by completely surrender? Just follow the instruction as it is given by a pure devotee. And mind you, pure devotee means one who has attained Krishna. Not anyone and everyone. Here, when it comes to us in ISKCON, we just use this word pure devotee just like that. Prabhuji, you're a pure devotee, Prabhuji. And he might be thinking, just now I was thinking about sex and you're talking about pure devotee. I'm not able to control my sex desire and you're calling me a pure devotee. I'm not able to control the urge of, you know, eating all these eatables which are there in front and I'm a pure devotee. But then, you know, we call Prabhuji, you're a pure devotee. But a pure devotee is the one who has seen Krishna, Tattva Darshi. I mean, that particular purport, Prabhupada writes, who is a Tattva Darshi? Who has seen the truth, who has seen Krishna. He is Tattva Darshi. Yes. He is a pure devotee. Uttam Adhikari is actually a pure devotee. And Prabhupada says in Nectar of Instruction, in that shloka, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. If I'm not wrong, this is shloka number 5 of Upadeshamrit, where Prabhupada is saying, an Uttam Adhikari should be accepted as a spiritual master. He writes this, an intelligent person should accept an Uttam Adhikari as a spiritual master. So when we accept such a spiritual master or whatever, Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, and we surrender onto his lotus feet and just follow the instructions, very simple. He'll tell, we have to do it. It is so simple, but then our mind will not allow. Our mind will put so many doubts. Why should I follow this person? Why should I do this particular thing? But the one who can do that, such a person will actually attain Krishna. Such a person will be able to attain Krishna. Once we get association of a pure devotee, we just hold his feet. We don't leave. Even if he tests us by hitting us with the same leg which we are holding, still we don't leave that leg. We don't leave that feet. This makes a lot of difference. This is the difference between a person who is having intense Guru Nishtha and the person who is not having Guru Nishtha. Not having Guru Nishtha, no hopes for that person. But the person who has got intense Guru Nishtha and he's not, you know, leaving the lotus feet of the Guru or a pure devotee, such a person can actually attain Krishna. Because the Guru gets full liberty to do all the heart surgery possible. Literally, he will test the devotee to the core. It is said, a sadhu will test. Sometimes he will shout in public, sometimes he'll slap in public also. Yes, sadhu will test very nicely. I remember one pastime of Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj. Everyone knows Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj, you know, is a pure devotee. He attained Krishna. He's a Nitya Siddha. He showed us in his pastimes that, oh, you fools, I am that pure devotee. So in one pastime, what happened is, Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj, he had a very amazing preacher, a stalwart preacher. And in that preacher's class, you know, many, many thousands of people will come. So now this preacher, you know, maybe, you know, every preacher has some pride of preaching. So he might also have something. So Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj wanted to break that. He wanted to tell him that the ones whom you are preaching, they are the ones who are going to hit you later. This is what is the point that he wanted to establish. And he wanted to also establish that mercy of a guru is more important. So the preacher, he wanted to invite his guru, Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj, to that particular assembly. And he extended the invitation. Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj said, yes, I'll come. And this preacher, he announced that you all are impressed by my class, but you should hear my guru's class. And when you hear my guru's class, then you'll realize that what is actually called as katha. But Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj was in a different mood. He was not interested in the crowd. Pure devotees are not interested in name, fame, prestige. The count, number of people coming to the class, or what fame, how famous they are, they are not interested in all that. They take a person as a project and they'll make sure that they'll cleanse that person and send them back to God. Prabhupada says in preface of Bhagavad Gita that even if we are able to make one pure devotee, we consider our mission to be successful. Because they know very well, to make one pure devotee, it's not easy. It's very difficult, very, very difficult. So Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj was that category. So he came there. He sat on the Vyasasan and then he started chanting Mangalacharan. And what happened is, he loudly passed air on the Vyasasan and it was heard in the mic. There was a huge sound. And after that, again he chanting Mangalacharan, again he continued. Again he did that. He started speaking, again he did that. And people started laughing. People started laughing, what is this person doing? He's passing air. So publicly that too, in such loud noise is coming. And what happened is, people started leaving the place. One after another. It seems there were some 10,000 people. And the hall started getting emptied one after another after another. And this devotee who invited Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj, he was not understanding what is Gurudev doing on stage. And then full 2 hours, it seems, Maharaj continued doing this. He was speaking and passing air. This is what he was doing. And finally, there were a few hundreds remaining. From 10,000, it came to hundreds. And then this devotee who was there, preacher who was there, he felt very, very bad. Very, very bad that, what has happened. And he was not understanding why Guru Maharaj is doing this. And then Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj, he got up and then he looked at his preacher, devotee, disciple, and he said, this is what is your crowd? Just left. They cannot hear a pure devotee. And he started leaving. And then he came to near the car. And at that time, in front of him, a bird came and a bird was injured and it fell in front of Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj. And it died. And everyone was looking, whatever hundreds of people, some few hundreds were there, they were all looking at this scene because it all happened in front of him and in front of everyone, the bird has fallen down. So Maharaj picked up that bird and then, he blowed the air from the mouth onto the bird and he just threw the bird up and the bird started flying. Now this, everyone saw this. And after seeing this, all the ones who were there around, they told other people and they told others, and all the 10,000 people again came back with us to the pandal to hear this person. So there, Maharaj made a statement saying, sadhu will test. And when sadhu tests, at that time, we should withstand that test by having complete faith in the pure devotion of the sadhu. But if we lose that faith just by seeing the externals, then such a person cannot actually progress. So here, that preacher learned a very good lesson in various ways. And at the same time, devotees there, they learned in various ways. And Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj is smiling and laughing as he does always. So this point is very important to understand. A sadhu will test. And we have to just hold the feet of the sadhu and never leave the feet of the sadhu. Whatever it is. He will test and we have to just follow the instruction. If you're not able to follow the instruction, he'll beat nicely. Still, we are not supposed to leave him, whatever it is. So in this way, a Bhagavat will do all the surgery possible. He will do all the needful. We have to just allow the Bhagavat to do that. And then, Nashta Praesha Bhadreshu, all the Abhadra he'll keep removing. He'll keep removing with the weapon that he has. And our heart will get cleansed. And by his mercy, we'll be able to go back home, back to Godhead with that purified heart. Or else not possible. Impossible. So here Prabhupada writes, see, in this purport. Prabhupada is so clear. So Prabhupada is saying here that the Bhagavad book and the person are identical. So we can imagine that how much importance is given. The incarnation of Krishna is Grantha Bhagavat, and that is equated to Bhakta Bhagavat. So now you can imagine how much importance is given to a Bhakta Bhagavat. Here Prabhupada continues saying, a devotee Bhagavat is a direct representative of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So by pleasing the devotee Bhagavat, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavat. Now this is again a very important statement. I repeat, by pleasing the devotee Bhagavat, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavat. Human reason fails to understand how by serving the devotee Bhagavat or the book Bhagavat, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. But actually, these are facts explained by Srila Narada Dev. See, this is Narada Muni speaking, who happened to be a maidservant's son in his previous life. The maidservant was engaged in the menial service of the sages, and thus he also came into contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of food left by the sages, the son of the maidservant got the chance to become the great devotee and personality Srila Narada Dev. These are the miraculous effects of association of Bhagavats. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavats, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that he becomes fixed in devotional service of the Lord. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavats, the more one becomes fixed in transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavat, therefore, have to be received from the devotee Bhagavat, and the combination of these two Bhagavats will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. Look at the gems that Prabhupada is giving this purport. So Prabhupada is saying, the first thing is, by pleasing the devotee Bhagavat, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavat. What is the benefit of the book Bhagavat? The benefit is very clear, pure devotional service. And see, we all have to have this firm faith, and at the same time, we should have full confidence on our sadhana, that just by doing our sadhana, we'll not get anything. This is the fact. Firm conviction should be there in this. By doing this sadhana that I'm doing, chanting, reading, hearing, whatever, I'll not get anything in Krishna consciousness. Why are we doing all this should be very clear. We are doing this to tell Krishna that I'm sincere. Krishna, I'm sincere. I want to come back to you. And then Krishna, seeing our sincerity, will send a pure devotee, and pure devotee will do the rest. By his mercy, we will progress on the path of bhakti. Any devotee whom you see is very much advanced or advancing very fast, you just see in the background there will be a pure devotee. Without the mercy of a pure devotee, no one can progress. Anyone who has got taste for Bhagavat, anyone who has got taste for chanting of the holy names, just peep into their life and see, you will see pure devotee. Without a pure devotee, it will not work. Never ever anyone in the past has attained Krishna without mercy of a pure devotee. Nor in the present it will happen, nor in the future it is going to happen. Because this is the protocol that Krishna has set to go back home, back to God. They have to go through the pure devotee only. Independently, no one has attained Krishna till date. No one. No one. Everywhere we will see the hand of a pure devotee. You can think, there are so many pastimes in Bhagavatam. Everywhere you will see a pure devotee, and mostly we'll see Narada Muni. He is the one who will go in everyone's life, and then you know he'll give pure devotional service. So this point is very important, that when we are serving a pure devotee, and when that pure devotee is pleased with us, by the mercy of that pure devotee, we'll attain pure devotional service. Till then, we'll keep doing the contaminated service that we are doing. Our service is contaminated. Why? Because, see, we are not very much doing a bhakti which is called as ahituki and apratihata. It's not ahituki. It's not unmotivated. There is some motive behind. There will be some motive. Oh, I'll do this particular seva, I'll get this particular thing. I'll do that seva, I'll get that particular thing. So it's not that our heart is clear. So we will be able to get pure devotional service. By the way, to get pure devotional service, first you have to hanker for it. Let me make it very clear. If you are not hankering for it, then forget it. No. even if a pure devotee comes in our life, even if he's giving, are take prema, and he's like, no, I want that prema, I don't want this prema. This will happen with us. So that hankering should be there. See, we might be sincere in our endeavors, but then if hankering is missing, then we'll not be the right vessel to receive the mercy of a pure devotee. Please understand. If that hankering is not there to attain Krishna, to attain pure devotional service, to attain prema, if that hankering is not there, then we are not a proper vessel. We are just, you know, just imagine a structure which is having a circumference, not having anything in the bottom. That's what we will be. A pure devotee showering mercy. You know, from top it is going and from bottom it is coming out in such a vessel. But then a person who is hankering for Krishna, he is like a proper big vessel. And then when he gets association of pure devotee, and when the mercy flows, he is able to take it. So this hankering is very, very important. Very, very important. When we hanker for the mercy of a pure devotee, and when we hanker to attain Krishna through that pure devotee, we'll be able to make maximum of it. So many people came, right? In Prabhupada's time, so many people came to Srila Prabhupada. So many left. They were not able to understand the importance of Prabhupada. That photo, which you know I talked about in one of the class. Now, Prabhupada is on a morning walk and one person on the bench in the garden is sleeping. I don't know if you came across that photo. He's just sleeping and Prabhupada is just passing by. And there a quote is written that when the opportunity knocks our door, we might be sleeping. So this is the fact. Maybe a pure devotee is there in our life. No? A pure devotee is there. We are not able to recognize. And suppose we are not able to recognize what, and why am I not able to recognize? Because we don't have that hankering. And even if we are able to recognize, we are not able to take maximum benefit because our heart is not ready to receive the mercy. We have to hanker. We have to hanker to attain Krishna. We have to hanker to attain pure devotional service. Till when we will keep hearing Bhagavatam classes where you know, it is said, when a pure devotee chants the holy name, he cries. When a pure devotee chants the holy name, his hair stand on end. When a pure devotee chants the holy name, he's in complete ecstasy. Till when we'll keep hearing this? Don't we have little greed to experience what is there on the platform? As soon as we hear or as soon as we see some advertisement saying this particular mobile has these different features, or this particular restaurant is the best restaurant for this particular food, or this particular place is a very nice sightseeing place. When we see all this, when we hear, we start getting that desire. Oh, even I should go and see that. Even devotees get the desire. Forget about materialist. Oh, I should go and see. And they'll come to ask permission also. Prabhuji, can I go? Prabhuji, all my friends are going for a long drive. Can I go, Prabhuji? The place is very nice. Prabhuji, I was hearing from my friend. The place is very nice. It's a hilly region. And then it's so much of greenery is there. All my friends are going. Can I go? As soon as we hear, we get that hankering. Why don't we get hankering when we hear about this? Why do we feel that we cannot reach that stage? We can. Our human form is meant to reach that stage. Why have we got this human form then? For eating, sleeping, mating, defending. The dogs are also doing. Human form is given only to relish that particular thing. Why don't we get that desire that, oh, how nice it would be to be in Krishna Leela, where gopas are playing with Krishna, where gopas are serving Krishna, yes? And then so many nice, wonderful pastimes are happening. Why don't we get that desire that even I should be one Gop Kumar who is going back home back to Godhead? This hankering should be there and this greed should be there that yes, now I also want to get that. I also want to taste what is there in that particular platform. And once that greed comes, you know, then the devotee automatically will find his way because Krishna will keep inspiring him. Because now he has got the right greed. Till now he had got the greed to enjoy this world. Now he has got the right greed to attain the spiritual world and relish something very, very high. And sadhaka should never think, oh, this is a selfish desire. No, I want to go and relish that. Are you relishing kachara here? Better think about that. Some purification will happen. Yes. And you know what? When we just have that greed to relish something on the higher stage, with time will become selfless. To such an extent, then we don't want to go back home. Then what we want to do? Then we want to just serve Krishna with a selfless mood. But that will not come directly. First, we need some replacement to the kachara that we have in our life, the garbage that we have in our life. Currently, we are relishing garbage. That has to be replaced with a greed to relish something on a very high platform of spirituality, Krishna consciousness. And you know what? That can be given only by a pure devotee who is already relishing that. The one who has Krishna can give Krishna. This equation is very, very clear throughout Bhagavatam, throughout Chaitanya Chaitamrita. One who has Krishna, he can give Krishna. One who don't have Krishna, he cannot give anything. Maybe he'll give different ways to do sense gratification, but he cannot give Krishna. So it's very, very important, you know, to serve a pure devotee, please them. And by pleasing them, when they are merciful, when they think about us, see, we have to be very intelligent. We have to make sure that pure devotees are thinking about us. That is very, very important. Some or the other, we see, we have all intelligence to do nonsensical activities. Why can't we use our intelligence, you know, to make sure that we are there in the prayer list of a pure devotee? We are there, you know, in their thought. So whenever they're thinking about us, now we'll see that they're somewhere else thinking about us, and here we'll be relishing Krishna consciousness. This is some completely different science. You know, we'll not be able to understand this. Completely transcendental, completely out of this world. So we have to be intelligent enough to make a pure devotee remember us. I'm making it a very, very gross subject matter, but then to make you all understand, what can I do? I have to pull that transcendental subject down now, by which we can understand this topic. And example is Narada Muni. Narada Muni tasted what? Narada Muni tasted the remnants of pure devotees, and then he started tasting Krishna consciousness, and finally he got that glimpse. So as soon as we get some taste, Krishna will give the glimpse now of his identity, of his form, and then he'll take it away. And the devotee will cry, and then finally Krishna will come and give him, you know, his original Swarupa. Who is there? Who is he in the spiritual world? All these things will happen. But then important is, Prabhupada writes here, where is it? These are the miraculous effects of association of Bhagavats. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of Bhagavats, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily. See, what is it? The word Prabhupada using here is sincere association. Now, these words are very, very important. Association is there. But now the question is, am I taking association sincerely or not? That is a question that we need to have. Sincere association. Yes. And then he writes that with the result that he becomes fixed in devotional service of the Lord. So many of you keep asking me this question again and again. Same question. Frequently asked question. Roji, how to get taste in bhakti? How to get fixed up in bhakti? Here is the solution. The solution is to get the association of pure devotee and sincerely associate with them, and they will give us transcendental knowledge, and then we'll become fixed up in devotional service. And here, finally, Prabhupada is saying, the more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavats, the more one becomes fixed in transcendental loving service of the Lord. I repeat, the more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavat, the more one becomes fixed in transcendental loving service of the Lord. So it all depends on how nicely we are taking the association of such great souls. And so here finally it says that the messages of the Bhagavat, book Bhagavat, therefore have to be received from the devotee Bhagavat. And the combination of these two Bhagavats will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. So all of us are neophyte, and we need both these Bhagavats, you know, to make progress. So see, this point is very clear. We are very fortunate that we have Srila Prabhupada, you know, as a great pure devotee in our life. But then it is also a fact that we Baddhajivas, we need to experience the association of pure devotees physically. Vapu association is needed, you know, of a pure devotee. Now where we can see that pure devotee, we can talk to him, we can you know, have reciprocation with him. See, Prabhupada's association is there with us. But now the question is, am I on that level to take Prabhupada's association when he's a prakat? Yes. So we need a prakat guru. Yes, we need a prakat guru. We need a prakat pure devotee who is manifesting his pastimes now on this, you know, world, this earthly planet. And from his association, from his guidance, you know, we'll be able to understand what Prabhupada is saying in these books. And we'll be able to relish, you know, all these different aspects of Krishna consciousness. Or else it's extremely difficult. In this age of Kali Yuga, a place filled with ignorance, a place filled with different avenues for sense gratification, talking about pure devotional service, it itself is very difficult. You know, we see in ISKCON, many devotees don't talk also about pure devotional service. They talk about how to make a relationship. 5 C's, 6 C's, 7 C's, or whatever acronym they give. People are not ready to talk about pure devotional service. People, their faith should be there not to speak about it. Many, many devotees are not ready to speak. Forget about attaining that particular state. Yes. So this hankering should be there, that when will that day come when I'll get the association of a pure devotee? When will that day come when I'll also relish what these Goswamis were relishing? All these great souls were relishing. When will I get to relish that? And let me tell you one thing. Only if we are relishing, we can make others relish. Or else our preaching is always hollow. We are hollow, other person becomes hollow. And everyone, you know, hollow people in the setup, they all keep crying that, no, no, nothing is working, nothing is working. Maybe this doesn't work. And people give up devotional service. Shla Guru Maharaj was telling in one of the class, Krishna Anubhuti is very, very important in a person's life. Krishna Anubhuti. Experience of Krishna is very, very important in a person's life. If we want to continue, especially in Brahmacharya Ashram and as a whole in devotional service, experience of Krishna. And who can give that experience of Krishna? A devotee, a pure devotee who has the experience of Krishna. So it's 11:30. I pause here. Any questions, please share, ask. And any realizations, please share.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanat Nam.
Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji. Actually, we are in reading session, like we are reading the Bhagavatam with the devotees. So which one is more recommended, like reading it within a group, or like we should read it individually and make the points?
Individually, anyways, we are not reading. So better we read in the group. So once we get taste, then we would like to read it alone. But when till we get taste, we should be, you know, there with some devotees. At least by force, at least we will read. No, no, no. This time for 1 hour, I have to read. Like that. But after that, when we get taste, you know, then maybe more people will feel it as a disturbance. Because we cannot ponder on the topic that is there. We might not be able to relish and connect different points, etc., etc. But then till we don't have that, yes, we have to. But then if we get an association of a pure devotee, a person has attained Krishna, then nothing like that. Full life, we can just be with him. Even if he speaks only one topic, that is Prahlad Maharaj's pastime or Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, we can hear the same topic entire life. And that one topic will actually help us to attain Krishna. Go back home, back to God. That's what our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Gadadhar Pandit would do. I think last class I was telling this. They would just cry and keep changing the Bhagavatam book. That's what they were doing. They were relishing so much. So to answer your question, Prabhu, till we get taste, you know, and till we want to do some deep study by our own self, we should read it in the group. And once we get a hankering, no, I want to do a deep study myself, and I can do it if that confidence comes. Then we can, you know, do it alone also. Is that clear?
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
So Saurabh Prabhu has a question or a comment. Let me read. As we can completely get rid of material desires when we get taste for devotional service, but until and unless we get the taste, how to control material desires completely? So this is a very nice question. And I think in one of the Bhagavatam class, I had given the answer to this. See, when it comes to taste, that is not in our hand, unfortunately. Taste for holy name, taste for Bhagavatam. We don't have all this. But there is a mandatory taste that we have to have. Mandatory taste for the instruction of the Guru. There is nothing can stop from getting the taste in instruction of a Guru. What do I mean by that? We like it or we don't like. We have taste for it or we don't have. We have to execute the instruction of the Guru. Once we start doing that, all these things will manifest on what you're talking about. So that taste, mandatory taste for Guru's instruction should be there. And this is a very, very important thing. And we have to just keep executing. And why, suppose if someone asks you this question, why are you doing this, Prabhu? You don't like it. I'm doing it because I've been told. That's it. I don't want to do it, but then I've been told. You know, so I'm doing it. Simple. So in case of Prabhupada disciples, what qualification they had? Prabhupada said, the only qualification of these people is they're attached to me and they're executing my instruction. Same with us. See, we are no less than any hippie. So externally, you know, we might be shaven head and all these things are there, but internally, you know, the desires that we have is very, very contaminated. We can equate that to, you know, all the hippies there, you know, in Western countries. So what actually will enable us to, you know, go back, come back to Godhead? Forget about going back, come back to Godhead. To get taste in Krishna consciousness is to get attached to a pure devotee and follow the instruction of a pure devotee. Without thinking twice. Now we should come to a level. So I keep talking about Guru Nishtha. So we should come to a level where the Guru says die and we are like, okay, Gurudev. And then we, you know, go to terrace and we jump from there. I'm sorry, but this is what is the thing that is needed. The example is there. Jamuna Mataji's example is there. Now where she was told in the train that go and get prasadam for me. And she was not allowed to cook in the train. And what was she doing? She was about to commit suicide. She was about to jump from the train. Obviously, you know, we are not supposed to do all this. And I'm full confident that we'll not do also. Because these things are very nice to hear and speak. But then actually when it comes, then even if we think, you know, that Kartikeya Das was telling this particular thing, I'm not able to do this. Should I die now? No, no, his job is to speak. My job is to ignore. Yes. So, but actually that Guru Nishtha should come. See, at least before leaving this body, no, that Guru Nishtha should come. Intense Guru Nishtha. That yes, he has told me I am supposed to do it. That's it. And for a Baddha Jiva, this is very important. See, we don't have taste, as you're rightly saying, we don't have taste in Krishna consciousness. When we don't have taste in Krishna consciousness, come on, how can we expect that, you know, our material desires will go away? But when we execute the instructions of a guru, automatically the material desires will fade off with time. Why? Because with the instructions comes the empowerment. We follow instructions, we get empowered, we execute the instructions, we get more mercy. At least, okay, chalo, we are not able to execute the instruction. At least one thing we can do, that is meditate on the instruction. At least this much we can do. Note down the instruction and see, okay, my Gurudev said this. Now I have to execute this. At least this much we can do. So we can start from this, and with intense meditation and instruction, that day will come. No, when we'll actually feel that, no, I'm such a shameless person, I should execute this. Then we'll start executing also. Yes. Hope this answers your question, Saurabh Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji. So, as you were mentioning regarding the taste for like this material things, like going for sightseeing or something like that. And you said that some of the taste we don't have for going in like associating with Krishna as a gopa or something like that. So like we know, like we have read the Siksha Ashtakam, this Anandam, Bodhi, Vardhanam and all these things, but it's pretty inconceivable to understand like what taste we get like by associating like a gopa. And these tastes, material taste, like we know, like, okay, if we go for a movie, we'll get some taste or things like that. So So yeah, this is kind of my question, like how to understand what like these days, or we have to believe in the scriptures fully, and that is only like thing for this.
Okay. TK, so maybe this might be a bit difficult to understand, you know, as you're saying. But then when we hear from people who are actually hankering to attain that, you know, automatically then we'll feel this person is speaking so much about this. Maybe something is there. Maybe something is there, right? At least with that, you know, we'll start thinking, chalo, let me also go and attain that particular state. Now first. And then when we actually hear from a pure devotee who is relishing on that platform, without our notice, that hankering will develop. See, in spiritual life, mercy will actually give all these different qualities. The hankering aspect, the greed aspect, all these different qualities will automatically come by the mercy of a pure devotee. So suppose we are thinking and we are not able to understand at all what is there in that particular stage. So basically that goes on to say that we don't have that enough mercy to understand, you know, what is there in that stage. Yes. So if we understand that mercy is not there, then we have to anchor for mercy. That all these great souls are relishing that, and these souls are anchoring for that. Now, where am I? I'm not there in any of the levels. What is the problem with me? Why am I not getting this? With this, at least, that anchoring should be there now, that when will I get the mercy of a pure devotee, by whose mercy I'll be able to get that anchoring. It is very nicely said. And we have also experienced this. That we cannot cry for Krishna. We'll be able to cry for Krishna only when there's a mercy of a pure devotee. When the devotee is praying and a pure devotee is praying that, oh Srimati Radharani, oh Krishna, please make my disciple cry. You know, they will make us cry, you know, for them. So again and again, I'm repeating this point that when we get the association of pure devotee, by their mercy, by their blessings, all these things will manifest. So this one hankering at least should be there, that I should get the association of a pure devotee. This hankering is mandatory. This has to be there. And by this hankering, by Krishna's mercy, when we attain the association of a pure devotee, then by their mercy, when they are pleased onto us, they will actually give that seed of hankering. And then we'll be able to hanker more and more. Are you able to hear clearly?
Yes, yes, Guruji.
Okay. Then we'll be able to hanker. And then all these things that you're saying, that how will I understand what is there on that platform? All that we'll be able to get. See, here Prabhupada makes a statement. So Prabhupada is making a statement here. Let me display. Okay, see here, it is said that it should be noted that by such sincere association of Bhagavatas, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily. Now, whatever you are talking about, that is transcendental knowledge. What is there on that platform? Transcendental means beyond human reach. So how to get that transcendental knowledge, how to receive? Here it's given, by sincere association with the Bhagavat. Yes, only by that we'll be able to get that. And then other things will follow. Once we understand what is there, automatically we'll start hankering for the same. But at least this pain should be there in the heart. I'm able to understand my engineering books. I'm able to understand all these different books which are there. Why am I not able to understand Bhagavatam? Why am I not able to understand Chaitanya Shastakam? When will that day come when I'll be able to understand? That pain should be there, that how unqualified I am. That pain should be there, that till now, I'm already now in my late 20s. Till now, I'm not attained the Pure Devotees Association. Oh, how unfortunate I am. That pain should be there. And that pain should reflect in our chanting. When we are chanting, that cry should come that, oh Krishna, when will that day come? When will that day come? Yes. Hope this helps you, Prabhu, to understand.
Yes, please.
Now, don't tell me that I didn't understand what you told also.
No, Prabhuji, understood.
Okay, anyone want to ask something? Last one. 11:45 hour meeting. Huh? Yes. No, that the pure devotee will give. That we cannot think also of getting experience of Krishna by our own self. Not possible. That's what I'm saying. In spiritual life, a person is having something, he can actually give us that particular thing. So a person is experiencing Krishna, he can actually give us that experience. Or it's not possible. So Prabhupada gave that experience to all his disciples, the ones who are attending. Now, if the disciples, that they say that, no, I want to do it by myself, they would have never attained that particular state. Impossible. But the fact is, Prabhupada, who was there on that platform, Nitya Siddha, he gave the experience of Krishna to all of them. So we cannot get that by ourselves. We are actually useless people. We cannot do anything. Except for hankering, we cannot do anything. Why is it said that... that particular shloka from Chaitanya Chaitamrita, that yadi bahu janma kadi kare yadi shravana kirtan tabu na paibe Krishna premadhan. This is a statement that is given in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, that even if for many lifetimes someone does shravan and kirtan, he will not be able to get Krishna premadhan, because Krishna premadhan is actually the possession of a pure devotee. He can give. But why are we doing all this? No, so that we prove to Krishna that I want you. And to engage our senses. That's the most important thing. Our senses are so contaminated. It just left for some time. It will just go, searching for some sense object. Yes, some sense object. So that is very, very important to understand. Why are we doing all this? To engage ourselves first. Second, to prove to Krishna that, oh Krishna, I'm sincere and I want your mercy. and attract, you know, the attention of Krishna, wherein then Krishna will send a pure devotee in our life. So this is all the child's play that we're doing as of now. Child's play is not the right word. It should be the practice match, you know, that currently is going on in our life. The true will start. No, in fact, since they have the mercy of pure devotee, they are getting some taste in doing that. Or else it's not possible. Two things are there. One is either they have lots of Sukriti from past life, so they are able to, you know, connect with the Lord in this way. Because previously they might have had some taste in that particular activity, and now they're just, you know, continuing from there. First. Second, pure devotee's mercy, wherein, you know, they're able to relish that particular activity by pure devotee's mercy. Or else, how is it possible to do these activities? You know, a materialist who sees a pujari in his corner, he'll go crazy. To pass urine, he has to remove entire clothes that he's wearing, go in gamcha, you know, wash the lower part of the body, and then, you know, wear clothes again, go like this and take bath 3 times a day. If someone sees all this, he'll go crazy. But Jananivas Prabhu, Pankajangri Prabhu, 60 years they did that, or they have been continuing doing that. Why? Prabhupada told them, Prabhupada empowered them, Prabhupada gave them the taste. Aindra Prabhu, 24 hours chanting. And I would like to mention this point, very important. Aindra Prabhu being a foreign body, just imagine. We cannot think of a person who never knew about Krishna taking up, you know, chanting. And Aindra Prabhu took it. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, yes, and Aindra Prabhu went to Vrindavan, it so happened that no one was believing on him that Prabhupada came in dream and he has instructed him to chant, you know, or do kirtan for 24 hours a day. Or, you know, establishes 24 by 7 kirtan in Krishna Balaram Mandir. No one was believing. So what Aindra Prabhu was doing was, no one used to be there, only he would be there. He would sit with the harmonium, and in the legs, in the feet, he would wear what do you call it as, gunguru. I don't know in English what we call it as, ankle bells, the big size. He would wear that. He would play harmonium. So in harmonium, you cannot give that effect of a kartal. Yes, the tal cannot be given in harmonium. So he would use his leg, and he would be banging his leg, and he would be giving the tal, and with the harmonium, he would be giving the tune. Like this for 22 hours initially, he would chanting. And when devotees saw his sincerity, then, you know, people came together and started, you know, telling him. If there is no taste, you know, if he's not been given mercy by Srila Prabhupada, how is it possible? How is it possible? This preaching also, like you take example of Jayaprataka Swami Maharaj, how is he doing all this? How is he doing all this? My Guru Maharaj, Bhagavat, he's Bhagavat personified, you know, 18,000 verses by heart. And he relishes so much when he speaks, you know, I feel, what is he relishing so much? What is there? Simple statement he'll tell and he'll laugh and relish so much in that. And in video lectures, you know, it's like, it becomes very, you know, I go very crazy to see him. What is he relishing so much? Because these were the instructions given by the spiritual master. They were empowered. The taste was given. Simple. So the answer to your question is either Sukriti or the mercy of a pure devotee. Nothing in between. Nothing in between. Yes. But now, if not pure devotee, at least some devotee who has some taste. Say a devotee has got the mercy of a pure devotee. At least if we can get their association now and come to the level at least where they are. There currently, at least that much we can do. If they are pleased by their mercy, if they pray for us, then it is possible that yes, we'll be able to do it. Yes, then we'll be able to do it. So, yeah, this is what is the thing. Hope it helps you. Okay, so let's end the class. I've got a meeting now, so thank you very much for joining. And please post your realizations in our group so that I can go through that. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada.